Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Guys, we got to start again in Washington. That dark cloud of impeachment once again hanging over us. Of course, President Trump making history this week, becoming the only president to be impeached twice. Jason, I want to start with you on this one. John Katko of Central New York was the first House Republican to say that he would vote to impeach, one of 10 that voted for impeachment. How risky of a vote was that for the congressman?
Well, should he choose to run again, I think it is a very risky vote. He narrowly won this last time, and that really came after a lot of work behind the scenes that both the Republican and conservative parties who were not very appreciative of some of the stances he's taken in the past, and this is just going to add fuel to the fire. So I think that he took a gamble here regarding winning this narrow race, but it's going to be problematic for him going forward.
Yeah, we saw Senator Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania say that he, joining Lisa Murkowski, the only Republican senators calling for the president to resign. Whether or not that would translate into a vote to convict if there is a trial in the Senate. And a lot of folks are wondering, Michael, if there will even be a trial. How do you try a private citizen for impeachment? How does that work?
Yeah, it just goes to show that some in congressional leadership have lost their tether with the law and with the Constitution, because I don't think it does work. I mean, just constitutionally, the purpose of the impeachment process in the Constitution had to do with removing a president from power who had committed high crimes or misdemeanors. This president won't be in power by the time the Senate could even act on it. So it seems, again, untethered to the Constitution and to the law. But that doesn't seem to bother some members of Congress these days.
All right. And all of this, of course, tied to the deadly riots in D.C. on January 6th. As a consequence of that, Jason, the president had his Twitter account permanently suspended and Facebook as well. Now I see YouTube has joined in. And there's this great conversation across America about the reach of free speech and big tech clamping down on conservatives. Do you think this is cancel culture here on steroids?
Oh, I absolutely think this is cancel culture. And here's the lesson for us. Regardless of whether you agree or disagree with what the president has used those social media platforms for, if big tech can cancel the president of the United States, what do you think they can do to the rest of us? And that really is the problem. Is it's not so much the messaging per se, it's the influence that was there. And so if the president with that influence can be canceled, how long until views that are unpopular by the rest of us in society are also canceled by the Twitters and Facebooks and Googles and YouTubes and others that really are there just to advance a certain ideological position?
Yeah, this position taken by big tech, Marco Rubio said this week, and it'd be great to get your reaction to it, Michael, that this is as much about the people that voted for Trump as it is about those crazies that invaded our Capitol. Nobody condoning that activity. But when it comes to who is protected by the First Amendment and who is not, you're really treading on some shaky ground, aren't you? I know your organization relies heavily on social media. Your reaction to this position taken by the big tech corporations?
Well, one of the real concerns beyond the free speech considerations related to social media is just many of these big tech companies also control finances with MasterCard and Visa and the other ways that transactions take place on the internet. That's a real challenge, and many are finding out that that they're being cut off from getting funding or getting paid for social media advertising or other things is hurting conservative organizations and even companies that provide software to organizations like Pennsylvania Family Institute. We have found over the past 10 years some clamping down on organizations and companies that won't work with groups that have views or ideas that are contrary to the big tech model, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah, someone told me this week the First Amendment is either for all of us or it's for none of us. This is scary Orwellian 1984 type stuff we're looking at, guys. Okay, let's leave Washington and focus on the states right now. A big week in New York, Jason, with the Cuomo State of the State speeches. A little different this year. He delivered four of them due to the COVID restrictions. His wish list for 2021, what's on it, and is there anything to stop it?
Well, I'm a little surprised, to be honest. The governor has stretched out the State of the State into four addresses over the course of the week, and yet it's been the least grandiose of any of the previous addresses he has delivered. And so there's just a lot of small ball kind of things in there. Yeah. We've previously talked about his desire to do mobile sports betting and legalizing recreational marijuana. That is in there. So you can expect commercialization of cannabis to come and that online sports betting. There's also some green energy initiatives that are coming out of there. But there's really just not been a ton of things in the State of the State. And I think it shows that running, three terms in and going deeper, it's harder and harder to have these new ideas from the same old politicians.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of folks are wondering how you're going to fill that $15 billion budget hole. Okay, let's head to Harrisburg. There was a huge vote in one of the judiciary committees. How judges are elected in Pennsylvania. Politicians are talking about changing that, Michael. This is huge if it happens. Very unlikely with Governor Wolf in power. But explain, if you would, what this legislation is all about.
Well, actually, the governor won't have a say in this beyond sort of the bully pulpit. He's already criticizing this proposal to allow judges to be voted by districts around the state rather than statewide. That lessens the power of the voters in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, because then they can only choose judges from their region rather than having that overarching influence across the state. But this would be a constitutional amendment to do this, and that cuts the governor out of the process. Just has to pass the legislature through two terms and then goes to a vote of the people. And this will help strengthen the balance of power. Right now, the governor has been working in cahoots, in my view, with the Supreme Court that rubber stamps anything that he does, whether it's on COVID or elections or other things. It's been a bad system, and this, I think, will help change it for the better.
One of the big arguments in New York right now, Jason, and you don't want to question people's motivations, and a lot of folks are saying, finally, but why now? Governor Cuomo seems to have done a total 180 flip-flop when it comes to opening the state from COVID-19. This is a guy that had locked the state down for the past 10 months. All of a sudden, a change of heart. He is quoted as saying this week, if we don't open up soon, there won't be any businesses to open up. Why the sudden change of heart, do you think?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons why you're beginning to see the changing conversation coming out of Governor Cuomo. The first is the fact that he's facing that $15 billion deficit you referenced earlier, and there needs to be a means to begin to raise revenue for the state. He can't fund all the proposals that the left is asking him to do without the revenue, so he's got to raise the revenue. Second, the courts are beginning to turn against him, and there are an increasing number of courts that are siding with small businesses and churches and others to say that these restrictions have gone too far. And so he's beginning to lose the court fight, and frankly, he's beginning to lose the populace on this as well. People have been doing this for almost a year now, and they've had enough. And there comes a point where people just then begin to reject those things, and the governor is trying to get ahead and manage the courts, the people, and the revenue.
All right. And then one final issue, that is the state Senate race out of the suburbs of Pittsburgh. 45th district race is finally over, Michael. The Democrats win that one by less than 70 votes. The reason we want to talk about this is it really highlights a lot of what the GOP concerns were with the 2020 election in Pennsylvania. Explain, if you would, the controversy there.
Well, basically what happened is that the Senate district stretches across two counties, Westmoreland County, east of Pittsburgh, and then Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is located. And those two counties, in terms of the vote count that was done on Election Day and after the election, was done differently in those two counties. Westmoreland County followed the state law to a T in terms of not counting the ballots that came in after a deadline. Allegheny County, as the vote was clearly very close and the Republican was in the lead, suddenly decided at the last hour to count votes that had come in contrary to state law. And so that ended up in federal court, and ultimately the federal court said, hey, we're not going to weigh in on this, and so that gave the Democrat the victory. But that points to the controversy that has engulfed our state related to the way election counting was done in our state.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week. But hey, you want the nitty-gritty on Governor Cuomo's State of the State address, what's in it? Jason, you got a wonderful website folks can check out. What is that, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Find out how you can make a trip to Washington for the March for Life coming up this month. Michael, what's your website, sir?
PAFamily.org.